not speaking on no compromise. That's just my desktop display that I have on there to remind me. No compromise. That was the camp theme last year. That is not what we're talking on. If it comes up, that's what we're talking on. The condition of the heart. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. Before I get started, before I pray, I am going to be looking for 6 volunteers to come up front and not quite make a fool of yourselves. Basically, you'll stand here. Oh, can I have my notes? I mean, Jen, could you bring, or Andre, could you bring my notes up for me? Wow, I left my sermon on my chair, man. Okay, basically, everybody's going to come up and represent something. And I actually, this is God the Father. Someone will be God the Father. And I have other displays in here. I will not be asking you to speak. I might be asking you to speak. but we're going to do a little drama presentation. So think about that for a little bit. For those of you who are game, when I ask for 6 volunteers, come on up. I hope we have 6. I don't want to have to do a dual role. I might have to do all 6 myself. Either way, that'll be a boring drama presentation. But I also have a little video that we tucked in here. So I'm looking to have a little bit of fun today, do things a little different. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love you. You are awesome. You are so great. How true what we sang this morning. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You are awesome. You are so awesome, Lord. We come with hearts surrendered, with minds open. We ask that you would move, Holy Spirit, upon our hearts, upon our minds. Lead us into truth. Not only teach us intellectually, but Father, grace us within our spirit that we would be empowered to live what we learn, to live what you, Spirit, teach us, because you are the great teacher. You reveal all truth. You reveal wisdom. And you empower us to live lives of no compromise. You empower us to live lives, godly lives, to no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed into your glorious image. So teach us, train us, move upon us. Increase us in you. Condition of our hearts. Change our hearts, Lord. May our heart be your heart. Change our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew 6, 19 to 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's where we're going. I'm providing the end in the beginning. That's my goal, is to get there. Today we are going to look at man created in perfection, creation compromised, creation redeemed, the conflict within, and then right back to the condition of the heart. When man was created, he was created in perfection. Amen? We all know that, right? There was, in the beginning, God created man. Male and female, he created them. He breathed the breath of life into man. Man became a living being. Man had a body, a soul, and a spirit. 1 Thessalonians tells us in 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. We need to distinguish the difference, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have a little bit of fun distinguishing the difference between body, soul, and spirit. For years, I've struggled. Where does the heart end? Where does the mind begin? Where does the will come in? Where does, you know, how does this all act in my body? And what about the spirit? What's the deal with the spirit thing? Recently, Dr. Leon and Pastor Pratt, they both gave a great dissertation on these issues, which really kind of cleared it up for me, which I want to present to you today. So, do I have 6 volunteers? Luke raised his hand. Amen. All right. We got Mrs. Dorsey. Come on, Lanier. All right. Come on, Donna. All right. 4. Okay, Judy. All right. Well, that's 5. That's five. Okay. Anyone else? Any takers? Any game? Anyone game? All right. Come on, Amy. Okay. All right. We ready for this? All right. I don't know who's what here. So I'll tell you what. I'm just going to mix these up because I don't want to prejudge and pre-say, okay, you look good to be this and that. Okay. All right. You are. That's you. What does that show everybody? That is your will. That is where decisions are made. Hold it up so everybody can see. She's a big question mark, okay? Here you go. You are God. Okay, you are, all right, okay. Amy is, she's the body. Okay, you are, oh, you're the heart, look at you, okay? And you are, you're the mind, the brain. And Luke is, show everybody, the spirit of man, okay? Now, in the beginning, okay, let's see. God, over here. Okay, right there. That's good. Okay, body, soul, spirit. Everybody, body, soul, and spirit over here. Okay. All right. You're God. You're there for a second. Okay. Wait a second. Wait. Okay. Now, you're the body. You're the all-encompassing body. All right. The 5 senses. Right. Strength. You're the body. So body. Soul. You 3 are the soul. Come over here. All right. Spirit man over there. Oh, for now. You're kind of like outside the body. Yeah, just take a seat. Okay. You're not quite there yet. Man is not quite created yet. We're working on that. God is working his way up. You're working your way up to create man. You've created everything else. All right. Let's get right. Okay. The soul is compromised of the heart, the mind, and the will. The heart really is our emotions, how we feel, all right? The mind is our intellect, what we think, how we reason, all right? The will is the decision maker within us. This pretty much, a little closer, okay, when nobody bites, all right? This is your soul, all right? We all have a beautiful soul. Don't we have a beautiful soul? We got soul, okay. And you're the body. Come here, body. You kind of like stand up here because you encompass, all right, the soul. God creates man. Create man. Create man. Do your creative work. You're creating man. La, 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 la. Yeah. From the dirt. Okay. You didn't breathe breath in him yet. Hold on. All right. Ready? Then God breathes breath into man and the spirit comes in. He becomes a living being. So you ready? Sure. Breath of God. Spirit. You're in the man. Spirit, get in. You're in the man. Come on, get in. You're in the body. Spirit is in the body. The soul is in the body. The body has it all together. At this point, God, you're here now. You're part of this action right now. All right? Okay. You and the spirit of man kind of do this thing. That's it. That's communication with God. God created man. Now man is communicating with God in his spirit. Spirit and man are communicating. Spirit is made perfect in the beginning. Body is made perfect. There's no corruption. Amen? Satan comes along and says, did God really say? Keep connected. Did God really say that you would die if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Satan works on the soul. He works on the intellect of man where he can begin to reason. So then brain says to heart, mind and intellect says to feelings and emotions, wow, doesn't that fruit look good? Tell, here's the heart that. Hey, heart, no, that's the will. Here, you two switch. Here we go. Because these two kind of work in concert. Okay, yeah. Doesn't that fruit look good? And then heart says, it does look good for eating. Okay, right, okay, it does. And now you two gang up on the decision maker. Come on, we want to eat. We want to eat that. After all, it's going to make us wise. It's going to make us wise, and it looks good, and you're not. And then all of a sudden, the decision maker feels pressured, you know, peer pressure kind of thing, feels pressured into making a decision. So the will decides, not listening to God and the Spirit, because this whole time, although Spirit hasn't been speaking, Spirit's been speaking. No! Okay? Don't do it! Okay. Right? But reason and emotion are convincing the decision maker. And the decision maker finally decides and says, okay, let's do it, right? So, the soul decides, they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and, right? Oh, you're dead. Spirit of man is now dead. God said that if you eat of the fruit, surely that day you will die. The body and the soul continued to live for how many more hundreds of years? All right, Adam lived like some 600 years, okay? God, you're out of the picture because you're no longer in communion with man. Go on over to the other side. Spirit man, yeah. You guys are on your own. So now man is not led by the Spirit, right? I'm ripping through this and not even going to that. Man is no longer led by the Spirit. Man is led by body or how they feel or how they think. How often do we enter into conversations with people and talk to them about godly issues, how God has moved on our heart, and what is their response? Well, I don't feel that, you know, or I don't really think that that's true. That the mind is thinking through this and reasoning as to why it is not true. The heart is like, well, Sometimes I feel like God isn't really love. How can God really be love if there's so much pain and so much death in this world? So I really feel that since God allows all this, how can he really be God? And then the heart. So there's this battle going on in the body between the heart and the mind within the soul, and decision maker all the time has to reason and kind of separate between how you feel and what you think and what decision you're going to make. The only problem, all these guys are here within this body, is that there's no one to govern it. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of God is gone. The Spirit of man is dead. So there's no real moral governing compass that our body now has. So we live by the lust of our flesh. We live by the pride of life. We live by what we think is right, what we feel is right. This is how we are born. With mind in control, or heart in control, or body in control, and they're fighting for who's going to have influence on the decision maker within the soul as to what you're going to believe, where you're going to go, who you're going to marry, who's going to be your friends, who's not going to be your friends, what you're afraid of, what you're not afraid of. All of those things are governed without the Spirit of God. We are born that way, we grow up that way. That's what we're used to. Ourselves being in control. We're no longer God-centered. We are self-centered. What's important to me? You know, what makes me feel good? What I think sounds logical. After all, it can't be logical that if someone speaks and everything is here. I really think it's more logical that everything just got here. So therefore, I will accept intellectually evolution. Okay? That's just an example. Where am I? Creation compromised. Creation is compromised. Amen? Satan comes in, and he's the great deceiver. He's the great dragon in Revelation 12, 9, who came to deceive all of the nations. He deceived Adam and Eve. The spirit in man dies. Sin and death enter man and the world. Man hands dominion of the world over to Satan, and we see that in Luke. Somebody says Satan is not the God of this world. He is, because when Satan approached Jesus in the wilderness, what was the third temptation? You know, if you bow down and worship me, all of these kingdoms which have been given to me, I will give to you. So it was handed over to him. The dominion and the authority was first given to man in the garden when he was created in perfection. When man sinned, Satan's goal was to get man to sin against God so that man would hand that dominion and that authority over to him. And that's what happened. Now the soul or the body want to take control. The heart, the mind, the body, it's in competition. We become self-centered. We're no longer God-centered. Okay, kind of got the picture? It's kind of like this. We all can relate to this. I think. Now, I want to hit play. How come it's not working? Now, if I hit enter, it goes to the last one. Please work. Don't do that. I hit escape. It worked last night. Should have tested it this morning. And here it is. If I can help. This is where kind of like mind and body and heart have control. As I
go. Finally. As I go. Thanks. Been out here all day. If I can show. Excuse me, I was waiting for that space.
Yeah? Tough. Face it, lady, we're younger and faster.
See self building up there. We first see it in the young girls. It's like, oh, that spot's mine. I'm going to take it. Vroom, right in they went. You know, face it. We're younger. We're smarter. You know, it's all about us anyway. You know, and then slowly you can see the mind in her. And then it's like, okay, this is going to feel good. And the old decision maker decides, yeah, we're going to do this. Face it, girls. I'm older and I have more insurance. Creation has to be redeemed. Okay? I'm somewhere in here. All right. Christ came to destroy the works of the enemy, to redeem man. We become born again. When we become born again, God, speak to man. Say, become born again. And then the mind says, well, what? What does the mind say?
Well, all right.
All right. What does the heart say? Okay, and decision maker? Definitely. Okay, body rejoices. Woo, 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 woo. Okay, spirit comes alive. Get up. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we have been made alive in Christ. Amen? You're back over here. You're back into communion with God. All right? The flesh is willing. Okay, so now back to original condition. God redeemed us back to our original condition. Amen? Our spirit is reborn, made alive, reunited with our body and our soul. We are now dead to sin and alive in Christ, created to do good works, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Christ came to those who believe on his name and want to give them the right to be called his children. We sang about that this morning. Amen. Adopted with full rights as an heir to all of God's promises. Hello, my name is child of the one true king. Amen. It's okay. I'm like natural E flat. So I just like pick and go. All right. And Christ came to what? Give us the ability now to be led by the Spirit as we were created to. The problem is the conflict within. Body and the soul versus the Spirit. Before, it was just the body and the soul and the heart and the mind making the decisions. Now the Spirit of God comes in, and body and soul and spirit are like, you know, celebrate. No, that's a Jesus song. What's the song that they play at all the weddings, the celebrate song? No, that was. Wahoo! All right. I'm in a key for that one. I was in the right key this time. How's that? Okay. So we like to party. We like to be loved by people. We love to, you know, and we live growing up with these guys in control, right? Doing what we want to do, what feels good, what we think is right, what we feel is right, right? Now all of a sudden, God comes in through the power of his Holy Spirit and says, hold everything. Spirit says, hold everything. I'm in control now. We're going to be led by the Spirit. And what does your heart and your mind say? You say like, yeah, right. Maybe. I don't think, not today. Amen. We have a conflict now. There's a conflict of interest. God wants to come in, take control. We talked about this actually in the prayer room this morning. Last week when we were in Florida, the speaker spoke on what it means to be a bond servant. Paul referred himself to as a bond servant of Jesus Christ. That word comes from the root of that word comes from the Hebrew word doulos, which actually means give up all rights. You are now owned by your slave master. In the Old Testament, if you were a slave of a master and you loved that master and you knew that master loved you and you wanted to commit your life as a slave and a servant to this master for your life, what they would do is they would put your earlobe, your right earlobe, on the jamb of a door and drive an awl through it and put an earring in your ear, in your right ear. An earring in your right ear means you are a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting how the world has taken that, same way it's taken the rainbow and distorted it, Satan deceiving the nations. That basically means you give up all rights for your life. You have been bought with a price, and you are now owned by your master, right? And we've been bought with a price, amen? The precious blood of Jesus. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. We are his, okay? Now, since we're his, God recognizes this and now wants control of the body. But the soul wants control of the body. Let's hear it for our drama team. We're done. Yay. Yeah, you got to take a bow. Do your curtsy. There you go. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. All right. You take a bow or you do a curtsy? Oh, you do a bow. Okay, all right, man. Okay. Let us read Romans 7, 14 to 25. This is the battle within. If you want to click, swipe, open, let's go there, and I'll give you a few seconds. If you have your Bible with you, we can read it together. If you don't, I'm going to read it out loud. I don't have it up on the overhead. Romans 7, starting in verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. That is our condition at birth. We're born into sin. We've been made a slave of it. It's just how we're born into it. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of the sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus our Lord. Sound familiar? All of us wrestle with this. We want to do good, and the good that we want to do, we don't find ourselves doing that. And the very bad that we don't want to do, that's what we find ourselves doing. It is the battle within, between the soul and the body, which once had control, and now the Spirit of God who's come in, the perfect Spirit, perfected us. His holiness and his righteousness dwells there because he cannot dwell in the presence of sinful man. Did you ever ponder that? I'm sinful. I'm born in sin. God cannot allow sin to dwell in his presence, yet he lives in me. There's a real strange dichotomy. A perfect God living in a sinful man, yet can't have sin in his presence. How does that happen? He's in your spirit. Your spirit has been made perfect. It was created perfect. It died when Adam sinned, and it came back to life when God came back in us. The spirit is still perfect. God dwells there. And now they're vying for the throne of our heart, our soul, our mind, the decision-making processes that we make. And we hear in scripture all the time. We heard it once said, A. Now I'm telling you to do B. Think upon these things. Change the attitude of your hearts and minds. You should no longer do this, but you should do this. We're going to be looking at this scripture. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, right? Be hospitable. We're constantly being exhorted to do what God wants us to do. Why? Because we don't want to. Really, we don't want to. Body, soul have been in charge, and we kind of liked it. It was kind of fun. Now all of a sudden God came in, and it's like, from one perspective, he wrecked everything. I say that in a positive way, because every time I come to church and I get into his presence, he's still wrecking me, which is a good thing. He's getting rid of the old me, and he's perfecting the new me. Amen? That which we place our greatest value on, and that which we honor in our hearts, is where we will invest our time, our energy, and our resources. Wow, that is tiny. Sorry about that. I should have blown that up. Okay? That which we place the greatest value on, or that which we honor in our hearts. That's where we're going to invest our time and our talents and our money. Pastor Arnold always said, show me your day timer and your checkbook, and I will tell you who your God is. Where you invest your time, where you go, what you spend your money on, what you expend your energies on. If it's full of prayer meetings and your checkbook has lots of checks, not only written weekly, but also to missionaries, etc., offerings, you know, where's your money going? That's an indication of where your heart is. What did we learn in the beginning? Where your treasure is, that which you value, that which is important to you. So we should really question ourselves in this. And we can use our checkbook and our day timer as our barometer. And kind of let God work with that one. I know he's got to work with it on me. And if you're no different from me, then yeah, you're available for it to work on you also. Back to the condition of the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Do I have these? I think I do. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. All of the issues of life flow from our heart. For it is with your heart that you believe. The mind intellectually reasons, but it's with our heart that we believe. And if we truly believe, if you truly believe that the earth evolved and we're here by chance, that would be a reality that you gauge everything else in life. Everything you receive will come through that filter of that belief. What we believe in our heart has tremendous impact on how we live our lives, how we associate, how we treat people, what we think of, what we invest our time and money into. That Christ may dwell in our hearts. Amen. In your heart, honor Christ as Lord. Be his doulos. Amen. His bond servant. We have been bought with the precious blood of Christ. We are no longer our own. We have no rights. We're dead. We're dead men. Dead men have no rights. Dead men have no feelings. Dead men cannot intellectually reason. They're dead. Someone's in a casket up here on a funeral and we're burying them. We can't go up and say, so what do you think? You like the casket? Is it pretty? Does it fit you? Kind of thing. You know, and what's the response going to be? You can go up and you can call them every name in the book because they offended you, and now you get your chance to say something without them firing back at you. What is their response going to be? Dead man can't feel. Dead man can't think. Dead men have no emotions. They can't be offended. If we're dead, you can say whatever you want about me. I'm already dead. Doesn't matter. Besides, everybody knows that I'm no good anyway, because that's why Christ came, to redeem someone like me, a sinner. He came to redeem someone like you, a sinner, right? To give us a new life, to give us new hope, to bring us into relationship with him, not only that we'll spend eternity with him, but that he'll begin to transform us and make us more into the image of Christ here on this earth. And we'll begin to treat people like Jesus would treat them. We'll begin to speak to people like it's God himself speaking the words. We'll see a situation, and all of a sudden, we'll know exactly how to pray because Holy Spirit tells us. This is the situation. I want you to intercede. I want you to pray for that right now. Because we're in relationship with God. That's powerful. That is powerful. You cannot influence someone halfway across the face of the earth where you're sitting right now. Because physically you're here, and you probably can't even speak their language. So to be able to communicate in their culture would be a barrier. But you can influence that same person on your knees, praying in communication with God. They can be on the farthest place of the earth, and you have the power to release the presence of God into their situation to speak to them. Tell me that's not powerful. That is powerful. That is awesome. That's what God has called us into. And it's all here that's been given to us in the attitude of our hearts. honor Christ as Lord. I spoke on honor the last time I taught in December. It snowed the weekend in January. This was going to be January's teaching. But we're talking on honor, honoring, preferring, recognizing who we are in comparison to who he is. Amen? And giving high value to God. That which is most valuable to us. Making God our treasure. Oh, sweet. Those of us that have tasted the treasure of God, there's no going back. Amen? There is no going back when you taste the sweetness and the awesomeness and how precious God is, and he invades your life, and the revelation comes, and all of a sudden you're just like, God, you're so awesome. There is no going back. The enemy will continue to come and challenge your mind and challenge your heart and try to pull your soul away from what the Spirit is trying to speak to you. But once you've tasted of it, there's just no going back. There's no going back. The world has nothing to offer that even comes close. I don't even know why I even contemplate it sometimes. We need to guard our hearts and our minds because our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Amen? Who can understand them? That's in the book of Jeremiah. And our minds are corrupt by the sinful nature. We need to guard our hearts and our minds. We need to guard our soul. Philippians 4:4-9. By prayer with thanksgiving. Jeremiah 17:9. That's where it says our hearts are deceitfully wicked. There's a parable in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. It's the parable of the sower, where the farmer goes out and he's sowing seed. And when they sowed seed back then, they just had a pouch and they just threw it. It's not like today where, you know, you get the tractor or the combine collects it, right? But, yeah. Speaking to my farmer girl wife, and she tells me, she trains me. All the good that you see up here is because of her. All the wiftiness is me, okay? they don't have these machines where they take one seed and go, beep, beep. That, they didn't do that back then. Some fell on the road, some fell on the rocks, some fell on, soil that had weeds growing in it, but some of the seeds fell on good soil. Jesus refers to this seed as being the word of God. God is the farmer, and he scatters the seed. And all of these other things represent the heart of man. The rocky road, the thorny the hard road, the rocks in the soil, the thorns in the soil, or the fertile soil all represent our heart. And when the word of God comes, does it land on the road? Does it land on rocks? Does it land on weedy soil? Or does it land on soil that's been prepared, that's fertile? Amen? The road refers to someone who hears the message of the kingdom, doesn't understand it in their mind. The evil one snatches the word from their heart that they may not believe and be saved. If it lands on the rocks, this is the condition of a heart here where we hear the word and we receive it in our heart with joy. But it doesn't take root among the rocks. The rock is kind of still too hard. It doesn't take root. Persecution from the world causes them to fall away. If it falls on the thorns, this is where the condition of a person hears the word. Their heart all of a sudden is filled with the worries and the concerns of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and all that and the desires for other things. You know, the desire, the deceit in the mind for wealth, how money is going to take care of everything. And the desires in our heart for the things of the world. What happens to that heart condition where the word of God falls? They're unfruitful. In the fertile soil, that stands for good, a good and noble heart that hear, retain, and perceive. They hear in their mind, they retain it, they chew on it, they understand it, they take time, they invest, right? And that produces a crop of 30, 60, 100 fold. The condition of our heart is something that we really should be monitoring on a regular basis. And you know, with the drama skit that I showed here, kind of gives a clear picture of how this war is going on. I know it gave me, and I hope that it brought to you an understanding of how things happen within our own hearts, our own minds, within our own soul, the choices that we make and where the Spirit fits in. It really has helped me wage my war and wage my battle on the proper battlefield, and to be able to remain strong in Him. We have a soul that is precious, right? Jesus died for your soul. It's precious to Him. He created it. He knit us together in our mother's womb. We are precious to Him. Another strange concept, you, me, are His reward. We know us, and we're like, okay, you got the wrong end of the deal on that one, Lord. Who got the raw end of the deal on that one? But God knows who He made us and created us to be and is working in us to bring us to that, so that when He brings us there, we will be perfected in His image in relationship with Him forever. And He did it for us because your soul, your heart, your intellect is precious. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit of God. Read the Word, pray, and become in tune with the Spirit. And listen. Move in that direction. I often counsel someone who has questions they're not sure what to do. And one of my common responses is, where do you have peace? Where do you have peace in your spirit? When you pray, where's there peace? Because God is a God of peace, not a God of confusion. Amen? And I've discovered a high percentage of the time, that's the right decision. We know what's right. We know what we should do, but we're getting counsel because we don't want to do it, and we're hoping the counselor gives us permission to do what we don't want to do. Because we don't want to do what God wants us to do. We want to do what we want to do. So we go to a counselor, and they say, no, you need to follow God and do this. Okay, well, you're not my counselor anymore. What do you think? It's kind of like when I was looking for an attorney. You know, they started off on the wrong concept. It was a very sad, unfortunate time in my life. I was battling for custody of my daughter. And I walked into an attorney's office, and I said, okay, I want custody of my daughter. He said, well, you're in New Jersey. Ain't going to happen. You're going to have to settle for joint custody or just pay alimony until she grows up. I'm like, you're not my attorney. I'm not starting on that ground. And I went to three or four different attorneys where I finally got one and said, I want custody of my daughter. He said, okay, let's do it. We can do it. And I was like, okay, that's who I want. That's kind of like what we do in counseling. We know what God wants us to do. And we have peace, but we struggle with it. So we go and we get counseling. We're all led by the Spirit. We don't need man to teach us. The Bible tells us that. You know? Guard your heart and your mind. How? Through prayer with thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. We which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's stand. Dave's not here for the piano, so we'll just pray. And looking at this word picture here, this little drama thing that I had going over here, if you're someone here and you know that your spirit is still dead, you've not been born again, you've not surrendered your rights and allowed Christ to own you, to be your Lord and Master, I encourage you to see us. Come up and see Tom, myself, any of the prayer team up here. I beseech you with all of my heart to give your life to Christ, to allow the Spirit which was created in man in the beginning to come to life, that communion with God would be possible, and this walk on this earth would be given solid direction. If you don't know the Lord personally, intimately, and have not received him as your Lord and Savior, please come forward and we will pray with you. If you have other areas in your life that need prayer, we'll stand with you and agree. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this love that you have lavished upon us, that we would be called your children. We were once enemies. We were once foreigners. We were once aliens, separated from you and separated from your promises. But you, through your love, you looked and you saw that there was no one to intercede for man. We were hopeless. So you yourself, your own arm worked salvation for us. Your plan of the ages to come down yourself, become one of us, live a perfect life, shed your perfect blood for the remission of all sins of all men. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Leviticus chapter 17 and also in the book of Hebrews. Lord, we thank you for shedding your perfect blood for us that we could enter into relationship with you. We thank you for depositing your Holy Spirit within us to lead us into all truth, to guide us, to give us wisdom. We thank you for the empowering grace that you give us, Lord, which enables us to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteous living. We thank you that you saved us, that you empower us, you enable us. It's all about you, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for giving us understanding and the ability to even grasp just how wide and how deep the love of God is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pray now that you would fill us with the presence and the power, the manifest presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. Enable us, impart to us your grace, that we can leave this place today challenged into monitoring our position before you as we allow you to reveal to us the condition of our heart, Father, that we would allow you to rule and govern it and surrender and submit and allow you to have your way. So I pray your grace upon your people. Your strength and this blessing. And now may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. And may he be gracious to you. May our Lord lift up his countenance toward you. And may our Lord grant you his peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen. Amen. Amen.